Welcome to Greatness, where the world's leading thinkers share their ideas about how to create greatness, great leaders, great teams, and great organizations. Why be good when you can be great? This is Gretchen Gagel, and I am so excited today to welcome Ovul Sezer to the Greatness Podcast. Welcome, Ovul.
Thank you so much for having me, Gretchen. Hello.
So I ran across an article that you wrote. You're an assistant professor at the University of North Carolina. I noted that you've gotten both your undergrad and your PhD from Harvard. Congratulations on your PhD from there.
Thank you.
And I ran across this article, and it, boy, did it really grab my attention. And when I reposted it on LinkedIn, literally thousands of views of this article. So it's resonating with people other than myself about kindness in the workplace. And I love asking my guests before we kind of dig into the topic at hand, how did you get to where you are? How did you become passionate and fascinated in the things that you research?
Sure. Thank you so much once again for having me and for your interest. And that's a great question, because these are the types of questions that I think about every single day as a researcher. And now, I mean, if we look at the times that we're all going through as the world population, it's so interesting that we're all going through it at the same time, right, because of the pandemic. Now we have this new phenomenon of, okay, things may go back to normal. There is some reopening happening. We had a very tough year with back-to-back online meetings and Zoom, you know, just in front of the screen. And everyone was talking about this new normal. What's going to be, what is going to be like? How do we come back to the workplace? And most of the conversation is around productivity. Obviously, it's very important, right? We care about it. But I was thinking how much we also missed some of the joyful parts of our work, which was this, you know, water cooler interactions when we see a colleague, when we see maybe our manager, maybe our friends. And that those types of interactions bring so much joy because they do provide us with the space for this little acts of kindness. Like when we move to this back-to-back online meeting lifestyle, it all became about efficiency. Which is definitely very important, but at the same time, it takes away the super serendipitous encounters that bring us so much joy. And I was fascinated by that. I'm like, wow, I actually miss that. I miss the small talk. I miss a colleague coming up saying thank you. I miss maybe telling someone they did a great job in a presentation. And now it seems like we don't have any of that, and it's all about what's the agenda. I mean, we had, I think, Corona talks in our right. Zoom meetings, right? Oh, how are you doing? How is vaccination going? And then after that, we go right into the topic. So when we're thinking about this new normal, we started to think about, wow, you know, maybe we need to be more purposeful, more intentional about this space that we used to have and make it just about kindness now. Mm-hmm. So that was the inspiration for me. I was thinking about what did I miss most at work, at the workplace. And for a lot of people, I think it's those little things that make the day. And that's why I think it resonated with a lot of people, because it's so hard to find those little interactions anymore in the online space.
Yeah. That's so fascinating. But before we unpack this, and this word kindness, I think it's the word kindness that's really resonating with people. And hopefully, I mean, gosh, what if everybody had a PhD in kindness, right? What an amazing world we would live in. What do you think about your journey, your personal journey, your educational journey makes you curious about these kinds of things? Because a lot of your research is really focused on how people interact with one another. Mm-hmm. What about you made you curious about that versus, you know, accounting or engineering or something else? What kind of drove you down this path?
Yeah, sure. What you asked really captures my research agenda, research identity as well, because as we chatted a little before, in addition to focusing on the positive side and the acts of kindness, that's that the word that brings us sunshine. Even like you said, even just saying the word kindness is like, oh, okay, I'm interested in this. In addition to that side, I also study the mistakes that we make when we interact with each other, mm-hmm. when we try to network, when we try to give each other feedback, seek advice, or even self-promote. Like, what are some mistakes that we make? Even in work meetings, you know, sometimes some people say the wrong thing or don't say the right thing. And sometimes it's not even about what you say, it's about how you say it. I think my own journey as an immigrant scientist has a lot of contribution to that, because I moved to the United States at the age of 18 to study math at Harvard, from Istanbul, by the way. I'm originally from Istanbul. And that journey itself makes you a keen observer, because you know, you start observing another culture, and that keeps going on. I mean, right now, U.S. is my home, and I've been here for 15 years. But at the same time, anywhere I go, I feel like now I'm a student. I'm a student of science, and it you know, one of my favorite activities to do is really people watching. I really love that. And I think having this experience of being on the peripheral almost, because you always observe, you're an insider, but at the same time outsider, that really creates this inherent desire. Why do we behave this way? Why do we do things this way? And even, you know, even in the mistakes that I studied, the mistake domain, sometimes I do those mistakes too, even though I'm studying them. I'm like, oops, I just didn't do a good job here. So that's such a fascinating phenomenon. Another thing, by the way, I don't know if it would be interesting to our listeners today. I also do stand-up comedy.
I saw that. I was going to bring that up. I saw in your bio in the HBR article, it's like assistant professor and stand-up comedian.
Yes. I'm very much into comedy and I do stand-up comedy. That's why right now I'm in New York, actually. And comedy is also all about the observing and identifying problems and saying them in a much more lighthearted way that right. we can all accept. So I find, in a way, I find being a researcher and being a comedian very similar as well, because it's all about what goes wrong. And it's all about identifying it and sort of explaining it. So I think comedy side adds to the observation as well, especially interactions and how we navigate our social world.
Great. Well, we have a huge comedy festival here in Melbourne, Australia every year. In fact,
we just
went to three. It happened in between lockdowns. We actually managed to get to three comedy shows before the lockdown again. So maybe we'll see you over here during the comedy festival next year. That would be amazing.
That would be great. It's such a famous comedy festival. And I know it's one of my dream venues to perform. I hope one day that will be great.
There you go. So let's go back to this concept of kindness. In the article, you really laid out what the benefits of kindness are, because people say, oh, great, kindness. You know, we just kind of, it's a soft, fluffy thing, but it's really not a soft, fluffy thing to think about bringing kindness to the work. There's some really grounded in research benefits from us being kind and doing things like giving compliments to one another. You talk about that in the article. So what is the research around kindness?
Sure. So the benefits of kindness are both multiple and it's for everybody. And you're right that usually when we talk about kindness, it seems like, oh, okay, it's, you know, we're going to say each other nice things and everyone will be like soft and feeling good. Yay. So that's definitely one benefit, right? When we tell someone something good, like great job, that's amazing. When we give someone a compliment, let's say, we know from research that people feel good. So that's definitely beneficial. In fact, you know, there is this fascinating research that shows we love hearing compliments so much, even insincere flattery works. Like we even believe, let's say I'm not tall and someone tells me, you know, you're so tall and athletic and I know, oh no, but then I still like it. You know, it's kind of weird to hear something that we know that's actually not true. Even, you know, it's so powerful. But the benefits of kindness are more than that. So not just making other people feel good about themselves, but there are multiple layers of benefits that comes from that. Number one, it creates meaning at work. I think that's very, very important. And I think maybe when we talked about this harshness of the pandemic life that we all have gone through, I think that's definitely some part of it, right? Like, it has become very hard to capture the meaning, the connection between Zoom screens. It has become harder, at least, to cultivate that. So it brings meaning, and, you know, having meaning is so important, because if we act kindly, that sort of aligns with our belief in life. Oh my God, I'm actually contributing to something beyond just saying something. Like, imagine you give advice to your colleague and say some encouraging things, or you know, you give feedback to someone and you say encouraging things. So there's that. And that's so important, because we know from research that those types of feelings and belonging at work not only creates a great atmosphere, but also translates into more productivity, more engagement, like for organizational outcomes as well. It's just so useful. The other important piece that we found in our work, it also makes you happy. So we usually focus on, okay, I give a compliment, I say something nice and you're happy. But no, what we find is that giving compliments and saying nice things make you very happy as well. Mm-hmm. But somehow people shy away from doing these things, and there are some barriers, there are some psychological barriers. And now with the additional physical barriers of the online remote workforce, it has become harder. So we wanted to highlight, oh, it makes you happy too. You know, do you want to be happy at work? Say something nice.
It's so ironic, because we were talking about your article yesterday in a program I was running for the Australian Pipeline and Gas Association, a women's leadership development program. And I was sharing a memory from a time when I was president of an organization back in the mid-2000s. And I actually put a reminder on my calendar once a month to write a handwritten note to an employee. And sometimes I would put some money in there and say, hey, take your partner out to dinner. But I just really appreciate, and because we all get busy, and that's what I was trying to say is, whatever worked for, it worked for me to put it on my calendar. In fact, my assistant would leave the note card on in my pile of mail and things to sign and everything. And, but however you can be mindful, mm-hmm. for me, it was creating a system of giving people compliments and giving people positive feedback, because we have such a tendency to focus on what needs to get fixed. This needs to get fixed. This is going wrong. And not really sitting back and saying, wow, I really appreciate this report that you did. The client loved it, and say something nice like that.
Yeah, exactly. And what I love in your example is that how you also said it was a handwritten note. Mm-hmm. You know, even that makes such a difference, I think, because in addition to thinking about creating this ritual, this recognition ritual that you have just described us, there's also research that we know if people put more effort into things, we like it more. So mm-hmm. just even making it handwritten, I think, makes it even kinder in my mind. So it should have been a wonderful surprise for the recipients, and those types of recognition is so important. As you said, you usually focus on what needs to improve, what needs to get fixed, which are still very useful, of course. But it makes such a difference to tell someone a genuine thank you, genuine appreciation, or like a great compliment. It makes such a big difference.
Yeah. So you talk in the article about how leaders can bring kindness to the workplace. So for all our leaders out there that are listening to this and saying, wow, this sounds like a great idea, What do I do? What are the steps I take to create a more kind environment in my business?
Yeah. So I think the word that you used about being mindful about this, I think that's the first step, sort of not underestimating the importance of these things. Because in most organizations, even in academia, right, a lot of things that we care about are measurable. What's the result report in the quarter? I mean, for us in academics, you know, how many publications do you have? So there's always something to count, something to measure. These types of things are not measurable, but it doesn't mean they are not important. So being mindful about them, I think, is the first step. And we suggest this in the article too, obviously, those who are in leadership positions can set an example by engaging in these behaviors themselves. Because what we know about kindness also from decades of research is that the amazing thing about kindness is that in addition to making us feel good, it's also super contagious. Like, think about it this way. Even if you're, like, let's say you're in Starbucks line and getting coffee or any coffee line, and let's say the person in front of you gets your coffee. Mm-hmm. Just because they're like, oh, okay, I just have it for you. Chances are you would also feel, maybe if there's someone behind you, maybe like, oh, okay, let's make it a chain. There's actually research like that that shows how an act of kindness cascades through people, and you don't only reciprocate towards the person who was kind to you. You also do it to other independent people. Like, if you've been treated kindly, it becomes a norm almost, and it has this spillover effect, and you start acting kindly towards others as well. So creating that norm is very important. And another thing is, again, with this corona, I really started to, with all lockdown and online remote workforce, I really started to appreciate how much I miss those spaces at work where we could do, you know, little catch up, give each other feedback, hallway conversations. So for that, and you know, the world is not at the same pace. Some places are already opening up. Some places are still need to go a little more online. And with that, I think we need to be very mindful about creating these rituals, recognition rituals, even if it is online, even if we still need to go with remote work for a while. Maybe we need to pay attention to, you know, how can we create a time where we actually really recognize and encourage each other to be, you know, kind. Maybe it's like a kindness round, you know, like if we can do it right now, even with our audience, right? Right? Like so being mindful, purposeful about that, being an example, and also thinking about the spillover effects, so that it actually cascades through the whole organization or all group or team.
Great. Wonderful. So you brought up that you also study this impression mismanagement, mm-hmm. which is the darker side of the sunshine of kindness. I love how you phrase that. How did you get interested in that? And what is that? What have you learned about that impression mismanagement?
Yeah, sure. So impression mismanagement is common mistakes that we all make when we try to make a good impression. How did I get into that? Like, the first thing I studied was this piece on humble bragging, where people try to mask their bragging with either a complaint or false humility. So if I say something like, oh my God, you know, I'm so exhausted from getting all these media requests after I published this article. This is just like, I just gave this as a funny example. This is not me. Just want to highlight that. But a lot of people do this in social media, or when they, even in job interviews, right? When we ask people, what's your biggest weakness? Top answers are usually, I'm a perfectionist, I work so hard, I have such a good heart, people take advantage of me, like, list goes on and on. So it's such a common intuition. So for me, that was very interesting to study, because I didn't expect that to be super common, but it was. And the funny thing is, when someone else does it, we can see it. We're like, oh, that's so fake. That's very insincere. We know that you're trying to brag. Yet when we are in that position, when someone in a job interview asks us, what's your biggest weakness, we still find ourselves in a very similar situation. So we become a little oblivious to our own mistakes. We identify it in others, but when it comes to us, we're like, I guess I'll do this. And then I started noticing it doesn't only happen in self-promotion domain. It actually happens in lots of other domains. And the reason is because no one teaches us. Like, do we know how to do networking? No. Do we know how to give negative feedback, critical feedback? That's very hard, right? That's such a hard thing. I work with students all the time and I love them dearly. I want them to succeed and improve. And I still, you know, think a lot about how do I do this in the most constructive and productive way. It's still a delicate thing for me. Same thing with self-promotion. Like if we have some great news, do we want to share it or do we want to protect our relationships at work? How do we find this balance? And to me, the fascinating thing is how common our intuitions are. So I'm very interested in where do these intuitions come from? Right? Why do we, like, you know, one of the things that I study is I told you so, saying I told you so. We call the paper I told you so effect. Every language has this phrase. Isn't that crazy?
Right.
Yeah. And I guess the relationship with kindness, as you said, is I see one part as the dark side where it's about things that people say or don't say and how it breaks some hearts or seems very awkward and works against you and also works against the whole inclusion dynamic. It harms the team dynamic. Whereas the kindness on the other side is this very cheap thing to implement. It's not costly at all. We just need to be mindful about it and give some time to it, but it doesn't cost any money. And the benefits of that are immense. So we have this two things and I'm fascinated by both. Hopefully my behavior is more on the kindness.
On the kindness.
Yeah.
Yeah. This impression mismanagement, that's so interesting because we all do and say things that we're not intentionally trying. When I talk to my students, one of the things I've been thinking about a lot recently, thanks to my emotional intelligence coach, is when somebody has an interaction with you, how do they feel when they leave? Mm-hmm. And are they having a positive experience with you? Or are they having a negative experience with you? And once again, thinking about that as a leader and these potentially negative experiences we create with people unintentionally, because that seems to be the primary point, that we're saying or doing things, but we don't really realize that we're doing something that's not having a positive impact on our relationship with that person.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And what you said is right on point. It doesn't have to be intentional at all. Like you can in fact have the opposite intention of helping someone or saying something productive. But again, I also like the way that you framed it, how it's important to think about how we feel at the end of a meeting and to think about how we may make someone feel. Maybe that should be like a one individual ritual that we have at work so that we sort of have this little evaluation, self-evaluation going on. That would be very helpful.
Yeah, I took a course, I think it was in resilience, and it was, do we build people up or do we tear people down? And we all hopefully, once again, if the whole world thought about how am I interacting with people to build them up, what an amazing space we would be living in. So I have to go back to the stand-up comedy for a minute.
Sure.
How did you get involved in stand-up comedy?
Stand-up comedy is really a great passion of mine, and I'm so glad I've discovered it. I had no idea it would take so much time, by the way, because, you know, the whole practice, trying it, working on it, it's such a meticulous process, but I love it because it seems almost like you just go in an open mic stage and tell your story. Oh, no, it requires so much work with writing and practice. I got into it because there was this workshop. And it says it's a stand-up workshop, and I'm intrigued by it. And I said, okay, let's try this. And it was just me in the workshop. And the comedy teacher that I had that day said something very interesting. He said, oh, comedy comes from problems and frustration. So think about problems and frustration. And I was like, okay, you know, some slow cooked frustration for you. I like, like, because we all have, I think we all have a comedian inside. I think the way that he framed the source of comedy, Mark Twain, in fact, has a very famous quote about that. He says, there is no humor in heaven, right? It has to be a little problematic.
Right.
It also changes the way you look at life because, you know, if things go the way you want, you're like, this is great. If things go not in the way you want. I always think maybe this will be a good stand-up story one day. Right. Not right now. I still need to process it. But after some time, I can maybe talk about this in a funny way. Mm-hmm. So I think that description of problem in comedy for me was such a used muscle because of my researcher side, mm-hmm. because that's what we do as social scientists. You know, I'm very interested in the problems that we face as a society and how can we solve those issues. So the way you test these ideas are very different. One, you analyze in research. In the other one, you just tell the joke and see if people laugh. Because if people laugh, that means it's true. So that's sort of how it started for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fascinating. I'm sure you're as incredibly successful as a stand-up comic as you are as a researcher. Of the
talent. Think that's so kind of you. Speaking of kindness.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you. As I said, I would love to see you over here in Melbourne. So I could talk to you. I know you teach negotiation. You have lots of different interests and passions. And I applaud you as a researcher in looking into the issues that you are in how we relate to one another. You know, I started out in engineering school and then did an MBA in finance. And finally, my PhD, I started to get into leadership and culture and relationships and more of the psychology of things. And it's really been a fascinating journey as I get older and older, which I feel older and older. I understand how human relation, our ability to relate to one another, is so critical in the world. And so I really applaud people like you that are studying it. Do you have one last tip for our listeners as we're signing off about either kindness or, you know, the flip side of kindness, if I'm listening to this and, you know, a key takeaway, something that I'm the practical that I can implement as a person that's going to improve my relations with the people that I work with?
It's going to be simple. And I will say, you know, a little kindness goes a long way. You never know the exact influence that you're creating in someone's life by what you say. So I would say, even if it's a very little thing, say it, do it, because it really goes a long way, and you will notice the benefits in the long run, both for you and for your teammates.
Yes, I love that. Random acts of kindness. I've started implementing that. Just a little story. I walked up to a woman in an airport, and I said, "Wow, I really love the color of your coat." And she looked at me like, "Oh my gosh, she really loves the color of my coat. That's so nice of her to say." Just a little random kind comment, even to a stranger. It's amazing how it can brighten their day. Well, I have really enjoyed getting to know you, and best of luck with your future research and your stand-up comedy. And look forward to seeing many, many more amazing articles from you.
Thank you so much, Gretchen. Pleasure to join you. Thanks a lot.
Interested in hearing more? Visit us at greatnessconsulting.com. Thank you.